Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Becky Streepy.
And I'm David Streepy.
And you're listening to Talkin' Tofu, where a couple of vegans talk about what we ate.
That's us.
That's us, a couple of vegans. This week on the show, we'll talk homemade granola, our new favorite pizza delivery spot, and try two new Ben & Jerry's non-dairy flavors.
I think calling it our new favorite spot gives it away. It gives away the ending a little bit.
Ooh, so spoilery.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm there yet. I saw you wrote this on the rundown, and I didn't question it because I saw it like a second before you said it.
Yeah, but Dave literally grabbed the rundown off the printer, and then I hit record 2 seconds later.
I make it a point not to look at these things.
That's how we do things here at Talkin'
Tofu. I know what we're going to talk about. I don't need to have prepared remarks on the pizza. Maybe I do. I don't know. It might be bad.
I like an outline.
I know you do.
I like it to keep us on track. That way, if I feel like we're getting off track, we have something to refer to.
Yes. Nobody's denying the value of an outline. Even in this specific instance, I'm not denying the value of an outline. I'm just saying I don't look at it beforehand.
It's true. Dave flies by the seat of his pants.
No, I don't. I fly by the outline that you prepared, which is fine. That's enough. I don't need to study it and rehearse. Do you rehearse?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Y'all.
I medium believe you.
I don't know if you can tell, but this is very unrehearsed. So, Dave.
Hey.
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 I've like barely seen you all day. Tell me how your day's been.
It's been busy. It's been busy at the day job. I'm on conference calls all day long.
Yeah. When Dave's on conference calls, he closes his office door, and that's how the kid and I know not to bother him and to try to keep it to a reasonable volume level out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll hit the door with a broomstick if you guys are being too loud.
Mm-hmm. And I just know you're in there shaking your fist.
I don't shake my fist.
Shaking your fist.
I don't shake my fist. Yeah, and it's work from home. It's like month 3 of work from home. So getting a little tired of it. I think I'll be working from home for the rest of the year. So I need to get used to it. But we see each other. I come out for lunch. I eat pizza. The pizza from the outline.
Oh my gosh. Look at
us.
Weaving
this isn't
it together
a segue.
Like a beautiful fabric. No.
It's not that. I'm saying that I saw you. I remember seeing you because I was eating pizza while I saw you, and I remember the pizza.
That's right. You did see us at lunchtime briefly, but yeah. Then you ended up having to eat at your desk.
I walked around and ate it.
Oh.
I was too stressed to sit.
Oh boy. It was a day.
I mean, it's a world right now.
Yeah.
It's a whole world right now.
It really is.
Now, I was going to say, it's hot. You asked me what I was up to today. I was ready to talk about how it was hot.
It is hot.
But
in Atlanta.
I wasn't up to that today. So yeah. I couldn't connect what I was going to say with what you were asking.
Well, I will say that when you have a lot of conference calls, sometimes you'll take them in the backyard. But perhaps the temperature.
Yeah.
Look at my sweet, sweet segue that I made for you.
Sometimes I take them on the grounds. You're right. Yeah.
Out in the backyard.
It's hot. Mosquitoes are bad.
Oh my gosh, so bad. We ate supper outside tonight and I could not sit around after. They were eating me alive.
You went in very quickly.
I was getting bitten up.
That's when you turn the fan on.
Oh yeah, we need to get a fan out there.
We have two fans out there.
We need to move it out closer to that picnic table.
Okay.
Can we get on that?
Yeah. We'll throw some pictures up on the Talkin' Tofu Instagram of the space that we're talking about.
Oh, do we have an Instagram now?
No, we don't.
We barely have a Twitter account. JK, y'all, we have a great Twitter account with tweets on it.
So what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, what I have been doing today, it is June 8th here in Atlanta, and that is election eve. And so I've been refreshing my voter page because I sent in my mail-in ballot. Doesn't look like they received it. So I will be getting up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to go vote.
I'm sure it was just an accident.
I'm sure it was because we sent Dave's and mine at the same time, and Dave's was received weeks ago.
Weeks.
Yeah. But mine's not there.
More than one, less than two.
Mm-hmm. Weeks.
If you're in the second week, is it weeks?
At us at Talkin' Tofu on Twitter.
You don't have to worry about that.
But please,
you don't have to do that.
Okay.
But so voter suppression is real. There's a lot of BS going on with ballots. A lot to look out for.
I'm not sure if I'm a victim of voter suppression or not.
I'm just saying, any extraneous attempt to invalidate an absentee ballot, to me, falls into the voter suppression circle of the Venn diagram.
I did get that weird form saying I needed to send in a signature to validate my vote, too.
And that's the point that I was going to get to, was that specifically you have one of the fakest signatures I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
Like, intentionally fake, almost.
I feel like a signature is not a thing worth putting effort into. It's true. It is sort of intentional.
What kind of dividends is that reaped for you?
It saves me so much time and energy.
Yeah, at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Think about that.
I'll have a long time to think about that.
Arguably,
practice a new signature.
The most important election year of our lives.
I'm sorry, democracy. I'll get a better signature.
Yeah. Well, could you describe your signature?
Sort of a squiggle. It's a squiggle.
And yeah, it's a lazy squiggle. It's a line.
It's a squiggle. It starts out like a mountain, and then it turns into sort of a line.
It is like if a drama club was putting on a production and part of one scene, one throwaway part of one scene was this character signs a check in front of the audience. That would be the signature that it was. Just like a throwaway, like, yeah, pen got to paper and I went all the way across the line.
Our 7-year-old can forge my signature already is what.
Anyone Dave's who can draw a line can mm-hmm. forge the signature.
He's been able to do my signature for years.
Yeah. Yeah. You do put CID on the back of your credit cards.
Yeah.
Which is great because at least you don't put your terrible signature on the back of cards for people to hold up and check a signature again.
This is the first time I've ever encountered my signature being an issue, though. It is
pretty big instance.
It is a big instance.
Pretty big instance.
I'm sorry,
this
everyone.
Isn't the same as, you know, getting rejected for your purchase at 7-Eleven. Your Slurpee run.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that too would be a tragedy.
Yeah, but you'd get over that. That wouldn't damage democracy.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you make granola this week?
Hey, you know what I made this week is some really, really amazing granola. It is ginger granola. It has dried apricots and coconut in it and maple syrup and cashews. And it is spicy and sweet and crunchy. And it is my new favorite thing. Y'all, I have eaten breakfast 2 times since making this granola.
You don't eat breakfast ever?
Mm-hmm. No. Nope. We've discussed this before on the podcast, but I'm assuming that since this is just the third episode.
Yeah.
Fourth.
Yeah. I would say your breakfast routine, you put as much effort into breakfast as you do your signature.
Mm-hmm. It's called lunch at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Promptly.
It's called Piccadilly lunch. We've established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember which episode we talked about that in. The point is, I don't eat breakfast. It's because I'm disorganized in the morning. But this granola is so good that I ate some for breakfast today. And you know what I learned is that if you eat breakfast, you're not hungry for lunch at 11 a.m.
Yep.
I ate lunch at 1 p.m.
Old human trick there.
I ate lunch at 1 p.m. like a person.
Yeah.
Like a grown adult.
1 p.m. is a little late for lunch.
Is it?
Yeah, you overshot.
I wasn't.
What time did you eat the breakfast?
10:30.
Oh, so you ate breakfast half an hour earlier than when you normally eat lunch. And that enabled you to not eat lunch for 2 hours after when you normally eat lunch.
Dave, I need your support on this journey.
Well, I'll tell you how supportive I am of your journey. is what episode? This is four mm-hmm. or five?
Four.
Four. And I didn't eat the granola. And I knew we were going to talk about it. And I didn't eat it. Y'all. So I'm sorry. I support you eating breakfast, maybe a little earlier. I support you making granola because I like granola too.
I can tell by how you never ate the granola. It's been in the pantry for like 4 days.
But we've had bad yogurt.
We have had
bad yogurt. And I think maybe we should call out who made the yogurt that we don't like.
I was about to say don't name and shame that yogurt because I usually love their yogurt.
I know. I usually love their yogurt too. And maybe this is the only way they'll know to be better.
Okay. Okay. Do it.
It's Kite Hill.
It was a Kite Hill. Can you believe it?
Kite Hill almond yogurt vanilla sweetened, which was the, I saw that we had sweetened yogurt. I'm an unsweetened yogurt guy. I was like, you know what? I'm going to suck it up. And I ate it and it tasted artificial.
It was really sweet.
Very sweet and artificial.
It did taste artificial, which is weird because you could see the little flecks of vanilla beans. It was vanilla yogurt and you could see that there was real vanilla in there. So I don't know why it tasted that way.
It tasted like vanilla extract smells, which is more natural than artificial, but still it's like a caricature of a vanilla smell.
I'll tell you what though, you put that spicy granola in there, it makes it fine.
I'll never know.
It was good. I've been eating it all week.
I turned that Kite Hill around just to see how much sugar we were really talking about, convinced that it was all in my head.
It's as much as a Coca-Cola.
20 grams of sugar per serving.
I mean.
20 grams.
I was shocked. That's a lot of sugar. I don't actually eat a ton of... Okay, forget it.
I don't watch TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, so...
I guess that's true. And I do eat a lot of sweets. I can't even say that.
Literally, the thing that we're going to talk about in like 30 seconds is like one of the sweetest things on the planet.
I don't know why I don't think of myself as someone who like... I think it's because if I eat something like a slice of cake, I feel so garbagey after.
It's because it's a slice of cake.
Mm-hmm. But I do love a bowl of ice cream. And that doesn't make me feel garbagey.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, we've really unlocked something.
Well said. We should start a podcast.
That's a great idea. We should share these thoughts.
Takeaways like that.
Yeah.
You know what I do like? And I'm gonna plus these guys up, even though I'm not crazy about these guys. The Silk almond yogurt. That was what got me on this almond yogurt kick in the first place.
Yeah, it is really good.
It was really good. I was surprised. I've been doing soy yogurt for the longest time. I switched to coconut yogurt, and I thought that was better than soy yogurt. And not until I had almond yogurt did I realize how I had unfairly kind of poo-pooed almond milk yogurt up to this point.
Yeah, you even said that to me when you first discovered that you liked that yogurt. It was a real revelation for you.
It was really just thick and creamy and tasty and very tart, which I haven't really experienced with a non-dairy yogurt. And I couldn't say enough good things about it. And then I threw some granola on top of that and sent
me to
the moon.
But not the ginger granola.
I'm correct. I made some smoothies with that. Sent me to the moon. The breakfast moon. I wish I had a cool name for a breakfast moon.
I don't have it. I'm sorry. I want this for you.
Yeah. I want to say Bagitarius, but that doesn't make any sense. But that was where I landed with that. Just go ahead and leave this in. I deserve it. But super good. Super, super good. Silk, almond, vanilla, unsweetened yogurt. Put some granola on top of it. I had Bare Naked granola.
Yeah, that's some good granola.
It was like
granola.
Fruit and nut granola. Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Good stuff. I'm going to try your granola, though. Once we finish this Kite Hill, I can't open the Silk almond yogurt that I got to replace the Kite Hill until we finish the Kite Hill because I don't want to waste food. But I also don't want to eat the Kite Hill because it's like eating sugar. Like, it's like eating candy in the morning. It is like eating sugar because it's literally eating sugar.
Yeah.
But it's too sweet for first thing in the morning. I don't even put sugar in my coffee.
I'm going to have to make more granola then because we have one serving left. And the only way I've enjoyed that yogurt so far is with that granola on it. We're in kind of a pickle.
Maybe you could leave that last serving for me.
And just bite the bullet, eat that yogurt?
No, use the other granola that I bought.
Like, you can move on the granola and save that portion for me to try. I want to try it.
Oh, right. I'm saying, though, it's the spiciness of the ginger in the granola, I think, that overpowers the sweetness of the yogurt, so you don't really experience it.
So we had a really good pizza experience.
We sure did.
This weekend. We've been meaning to try this place. We live in Atlanta. I don't know. Have we said that we live in Atlanta? We live in Atlanta.
We sure live in Atlanta.
We sure do live in Atlanta. And we've been trying some new food options. And this weekend we tried Plant-Based Pizzeria.
Yes. Oh my goodness, y'all.
They've been around for a few years. I was going to say some years.
They've been around for some times. Some time for a duration of time.
Works as poorly as some years.
Yep.
They've been around for a little while.
They opened one time.
Yeah.
And now they're here.
Yeah, they opened and then they were open for a while before we tried them.
And now we've tried them.
And now we tried them.
They make their crust with spelt flour and I was floored. It was so amazing.
Super good.
The crust was delightful. We have talked before about pizza crust, I think. Or was that on the Veg Fest thing with Lee?
Yeah, we talked about Freddie Breddy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a crust guy. We talked about it on here.
We have.
I'm pulling up the pizza that we ordered. Hold on.
It's in the outline. I put the description of the pizza in the outline because I'm a professional.
Oh, yeah?
I sure did. See it? Roasted basil pizza sauce, vegan mozzarella, spicy beyond sausage, roasted peaches, red onions, and jalapenos.
Yeah, but I was going to show everybody a picture of it my phone.
Oh, yeah.
That I took. Yeah, so we got the Georgia Peach Pizza from Plant-Based Pizzeria here in town. Roasted basil pizza sauce, vegan moz, spicy beyond sausage, roasted peaches, red onions, and jalapenos. Kid had the veggie flatbread.
Yes,
he did. Is what I wanted to say about the pizza. But
for everyone not in this room, Dave was reading what I wrote on that.
It's clear.
It was clear.
Couldn't have been clear.
Couldn't have been more clear.
Couldn't have been clear.
I'm just trying to explain the joke.
Kid had the veggie flatbread.
That was it. That was what drove it home.
Yeah.
The veggie flatbread had zucchini and mushrooms and onions on it.
It was a lot.
When we opened up the box and put the slices on his plate, our child did say, "Square pizza."
Square pizza is a fun idea.
I know. He was so charmed by it.
School cafeteria.
Yes.
We had octagonal pizzas in our school cafeteria. Sometimes it was rectangle pizza day, and sometimes it was the regrettably named Fiestados. Were octagonal pizzas.
Octagonal?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Now you got me thinking that they're hexagons, but no, they were octagonals.
How? Did they have a cutter that they...
I don't know. But they were like...
I need more information.
Octagonal. It was cheddar cheese. It was like ground beef or something on top of that. It had a little bit of like taco sauce or like some sort of kick to it. I don't remember a lot past that. But that was the way that they could clear two pizza days in 1 week in the lunch line.
It seems like a lot of cutting work for no reason.
Yeah.
Unless the dough came that. If anyone knows why that happens, please get at us at Talkin' Tofu on Twitter.
You really want that.
I'm thirsty for some
get
tweets.
It. Yeah. Yep. Get it.
Tweet us.
I mean, how, but it could have like a cutter, like a.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Did they have a big stamp that was stamping out? That seems like it would waste a lot of dough unless you were very precise.
Or what about like, I mean, they do it for biscuits. Big Biscuit does it.
Big Biscuit does it.
Yeah. I did feel like going back to Plant-Based Pizzeria, which we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about. We spent like 12 times as much time talking about Fiestados, which I called Fiestados. But I feel like there was more than vegan moz on there. I feel like there was cheddar on there.
Did you?
Yeah.
I did not feel that way. But I will say there were a lot of strong flavors going on there and the cheese was not like at the front of my mind. Mm. There's the spicy sausage is so good.
Yeah.
And like perfectly spicy too, especially like with the jalapenos to amp it up a little bit. And then those roasted peaches. Goodness.
Yep. And the way the sausage was crumbled on top of the pizza, I thought was really great too.
Yeah, you weren't getting like big heavy clumps. It was like nice and even.
Yep. Nice and even. Little crumbles spread across the entire thing. The jalapenos were really spicy and had a nice punch to them.
But they also were cut thin enough, I feel like, that they roasted. So you got that good roasted pepper flavor.
And it was a thin crust. but it was a thick, thin crust, which I feel like you and I could meet in the middle there.
Yeah, I ate the crust last night, y'all, which for me, that's a big deal. It was so good. It was a thin crust. You could taste all those toppings, but it was like a hearty thin crust because of the spelt flour. That's right. What made it so hearty.
I think I'm also thinking of like the amount of crust between the cheese and the bottom of the pizza.
Like actual height of the crust.
Right. Like I feel like it was a very bready pizza, but it didn't feel like a very bready pizza.
Yeah, I grabbed three slices and I could have probably just eaten two. Mm-hmm. Also, though, that crust, they seasoned it so well. It was full of seasonings.
Yeah. Bursting with seasoning.
It was a great pizza. I can't wait to eat another one.
We should have done this episode about that pizza.
Yes. I almost proposed that to you. And then I was like, how many people are going to want to, outside of Atlanta?
Yeah. How many people?
Well, Plant-Based Pizzeria, we love you. You were great. We're going to order from you again as soon as possible.
Yeah. But I was afterwards, you know, I was full, but I was still hungry for dessert.
This is smooth.
I went into the freezer. I pulled open the drawer and there were two pints of Ben & Jerry's non-dairy that just waiting for us. Two new ones.
They sure were there. And I'm so glad. They were delightful. I wanted to say about the Ben & Jerry's is that we had ordered the Netflix and Chilled, and then we had ordered something. Oh, the milk and cookies was what we ordered, but they didn't have it. And the person who was shopping texted me a picture of the chocolate salted and swirled pint and said, is this okay instead? And it was better instead, in my opinion. Don't get mad, Dave, but I love chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, you do.
So should we do these one at a time?
Well, let's take a step back and explain our history with Ben & Jerry's non-dairy. Because I think some came before them, clearly. But I think this was the point at which both of us really got back into ice cream. Like, got back into trying lots of different types of ice cream. Once Ben & Jerry's opened their non-dairy line, which was all almond milk-based ice cream, but it had all the mix-ins, you should probably disclose your history with Ben & Jerry's.
So when they first launched their non-dairy line, Ben & Jerry's flew some bloggers up to Vermont to tour the facility and to try the ice creams and share them on our social media channels and our blogs. And I was one of the bloggers that got to go.
This was like 2015?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It was whenever they launched those first three flavors, the Chunky Monkey and I don't know why I can only think of Chunky Monkey, but there were two others. And it was a really fun trip. I went down a giant slide because inside of their offices, they have a giant slide. And I ate a lot of ice cream. And we also did this really fun thing where the bloggers broke off into teams and we each got to develop our own ice cream flavor. And it was good times.
I think the first ones were PB&J cookies, coffee caramel fudge.
Oh, yeah.
Chunky Monkey, which does not exist anymore.
Yeah, because it was bad.
It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Caramel Almond Brittle, I remember.
I don't know that they had the caramel. I feel like it was three, maybe four. And they all had chocolate in them because I remember the woman at Ben & Jerry's told us that they were getting complaints about every ice cream having chocolate. And I thought, from what joyless person is complaining about too much chocolate?
Here's the thing about chocolate ice cream.
Well, they weren't all chocolate ice creams. They just all had a chocolate element. Like the Chunky Monkey. Okay.
About ice cream that has a chocolate element. Sometimes that element being the ice cream. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just like a fudge chip.
Acknowledged.
Okay.
It's too much chocolate. It's too much chocolate in a macro sense that they've got chocolate happening in every one of their offerings. Which is what I think she was speaking to, right?
Yes, that was the complaint.
But there's also like chocolate ice cream. All you ever taste is the chocolate ice cream.
You're just selling it more to me, but I understand what you're saying. Not everyone, I guess, wants chocolate all the time in their dessert.
So the other two flavors they started with, I think, are chocolate caramel cluster.
That sounds right.
Yeah, with chocolate.
There was definitely chocolate in all of them.
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Yes.
Which is like, bring a book.
Are you kidding me? That chocolate fudge brownie was so good.
It's three kinds of chocolate.
Yes.
And a pint. I get it. I get you're going to be team chocolate no matter what I say, but that's like a boring amount of tons of chocolate.
I mean, I do agree with you that when you're with Ben and Jerry's, the expectation is a lot of different textures and flavors. And so a triple chocolate situation isn't necessarily what you want from that brand. But like just from a bowl of ice cream in general, chocolate ice cream with chunks of gooey fudge in it. I mean, I'm in.
I feel like anytime Ben and Jerry's does something that anybody else either has done or could do, it's just like, why? You've got this Wonka's factory over here of amazing ice cream ideas, and you're giving me cookie dough ice cream? Who cares? Like, don't make cookie dough ice cream. What role does that have in your portfolio of ice cream?
Yeah.
That would be like just a strawberry ice cream. I think Ben & Jerry's makes a vanilla ice cream, and it's like, why? Why? Who wants that? Not me.
No.
Well, thanks for listening.
Should we talk about the Netflix and Chilled?
So yeah, they came out with Netflix and Chill, which I'm trying to...
Chilled.
Oh, yeah.
I brought the pints in here when I was making the outline, so I would be sure.
So it's Chill with three L's, an apostrophe, and a D.
Mm-hmm. Three L's. I had to check that several times.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool,
if you ask me.
That's chilly.
And so that one is, hey, there's something for everyone to watch on Netflix and flavors for everyone to enjoy from Ben & Jerry's. So we've teamed up to bring you a chillaxing new creation.
That's chillaxing.
Certain, yeah, they went there.
They sure did.
That's certain to satisfy any sweet or salty snack craving. It's a flavorful world, and everyone is invited to grab a spoon. And so this one has peanut butter non-dairy frozen dessert with sweet and salty pretzel swirls and fudge brownies. So it's the right amount of fudge, right amount of chocolate in there, I thought.
Okay.
Nice and balanced.
Yeah.
Salty pretzels. Big plus, you put salt in a ice cream, I'm there.
Oh, yeah. I love a sweet, like a salty, savory element in my ice cream. That's always good.
Yeah. And so we watched Community on Netflix, and I ate some, and I chilled with three L's.
I did, too. I ate some when we were watching Community.
Two different watchings.
Two different. We're doing a lot of watching Community on Netflix with friends right now.
Yeah. So you liked it?
I did.
Yeah?
I did like it. I almost wish, and I know with Ben and Jerry's, or you know, something with that many like pieces to it, not every bowl is going to be consistent necessarily, but I feel like I could have used more pretzel. I didn't get enough crunchy, salty pretzel, but I do have kind of a salt tooth.
A salt tooth?
Yeah, it's like a sweet tooth, but I like
salt. I understand where you're going with it.
Okay, because you sounded
is disgusting.
You've never heard salt tooth?
No. Is that a thing?
Yeah. I didn't invent that. Unless I just did, in which case, patent pending.
Oh, I wouldn't patent that. It makes me think of like a gristly tooth, like the nubbin of a tooth. Like, you know how you think like you know what a tooth looks like, but then a dentist will show you a picture of what's underneath the enamel of a tooth and be like, no, that's really what the tooth is like. That's really the thing we've got to preserve.
That's the salt
tooth.
That's
what my mental image of what a salt tooth is that.
Oh, well, now I don't think that I should say that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you do have a salt tooth. You have a whole mouth full of them. They're all underneath the enamel.
Mm-hmm. So now it's like an official ADA.
Sure.
Technical term.
As far as I'm concerned.
Got it.
Yeah. Dentist out there, at us at talkingtofu.twitternet.com.
But really do at us. We need your tweets.
You don't have to. We don't need them.
Rate and subscribe.
We don't. Okay.
So I thought that this ice cream was a delight. I loved the peanut butter base. I thought it was perfectly creamy. I did want to say with both of these ice creams, and I don't know if this is true of dairy ice cream as well, because it's been a long time, but they're so hard to scoop when you pull them out of the freezer.
That's our freezer.
Is that the fault of our freezer?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was something to do with the ice cream or with the milk that it just gets...
No, I don't think it is. I think our freezer just is set too high and super freezes everything. I also think the space that we made the ice cream space in the freezer is like a really cold zone.
maybe we need to rethink the ice cream zone because it's so hard to scoop that I had to leave it out for a minute and then use like a wet ice cream scoop to get in there.
We'll put some pictures of our freezer up on Instagram so you guys can see the real estate that we're talking about.
Just one more time. We do not have an Instagram.
Show you our freezer.
Do not have an Instagram at this time. So the other one was, wait, I didn't really get your full thoughts on the Netflix and Chilled.
I thought it was a banger.
It was a banger.
Yeah, I thought it was balanced. I did get the right amount of salty. I guess I have a salt tooth of my own when it comes to salty food, but I thought it was a good balance. It wasn't an overpowering amount of saltiness, but it was a little savoriness there that kind of helped balance things out. And the peanut butter was pretty mellow too. Like the peanut butter, fudge, pretzel. It was a nice mellow blend.
I also wanted to bring up because we had a discussion about this on our Netflix party chat, and we were talking about how crunchy elements like pretzels get soggy.
You're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to rip it open because I want to discuss it more.
Okay.
And I did think when I was eating, or I guess I had already eaten it, but I was thinking when y'all were talking about that, that those pretzels were soft. I would have liked them to be crunchy. And I don't know if that's achievable. It would involve some food science that I do not know about.
I like how you brought up the debate and then distanced yourself from it by saying, well, y'all were talking about this.
Well, I really didn't chime in because I didn't fully know what to say. I didn't have much to say about it, but I want to hear your thoughts and chime in now.
Okay. Well, my thoughts are that if you bring a crispy element or crunchy element into an ice cream and it's mixed in with the ice cream, you're going to lose the crunch, but you're going to gain the flavor. You still come out on top because the flavor is still additive. We had a big debate about that, I think specifically it was about would potato chips work? And I think Ben & Jerry's has a dairy ice cream that has potato chips in it. So obviously it does work. But conceptually, I think the argument was that's a hard thing for your mind to get over. I was citing all of these crunchy things that are put into food, like cookies and cream is a notoriously crunchy food that is then put into ice cream. And it doesn't become crunchy. Like it loses its crunch, gets soggy, but that doesn't take away from the ice cream necessarily. But then I think there's a tactility to having crunchy stuff in your ice cream that is satisfying. And there could be a way to do that, that you get the addition of the flavor and you also get that added experience of the crunch mixed in with that. But I don't think you can mix that in. I think it has to be a topping that goes on top. Like pretzels on top of ice cream.
Brilliant.
Would not get soggy. You would have a very, like the clock would be ticking when you put that pretzel on there.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you could do it. You could get in there. Similarly, potato chips. You could crumple potato chips up over a bowl of ice cream. Get in there and really get while the getting's good before it gets soggy and really set yourself up for a good time.
And maybe a stomach ache, but such a worth
it. All of this
stomach
is
ache.
A stomach ache. Why at that point would you be like, and that'll give you a stomach ache?
I don't know. I'm not sure why.
that was your threshold.
I had this vision of myself this weekend, like crumbling those Ruffles that we have in the pantry over the top of that of the chocolate salted and swirled and how delicious that would be and how horrible I would feel like approximately 5 minutes after I ate it. And I don't know why, but it popped into my head and I said it and here we are.
Yeah. I think it would be good. I think you sell yourself short.
No, it would be good.
No, I mean, I think you would be good. Like I was 2 points. One, I think it would be good.
Oh,
I think you sell yourself short by summoning the instant stomachache afterwards. I think you would be able to ride it out a little bit better.
Oh, maybe if I went right to bed.
That's the worst idea. Like you have
for
to
you.
Stay up for an hour to digest then go to bed. Because you'll have bad dreams.
That's true.
You wake up with a stomachache. You'll be all thirsty and parched because it was potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
You don't take a water to bed.
So this is like a 10:30 p.m.
I don't know. No, that's what time you go to bed.
No, on a weekend when I go to bed at
11:30. Oh, you go to bed at 10:45 on the weekend.
Like 11:15, 11:30. Yeah. Sometimes, one time, I stayed up until midnight on a weekend.
Yeah, and you talked about it for like 4 days afterwards about how you stayed up so late and how you're just dragging. That was your excuse for everything for like 4 days.
I need a lot of sleep, y'all. I like I like sleep. My body likes it.
You need what you need.
So let's move on to this chocolate salted and swirled, since we've already talked about putting Ruffles on top, which we haven't done yet, but it might happen this weekend.
Yeah, I just tried this one tonight.
This one is the one I had first.
Yeah, you went right to it.
Yeah.
This one, it says an exclusive flavor.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Is that Target exclusive? We got it from Target.
It did come from Target.
Yeah.
Maybe that is what it means. Whatever it is, I loved it. I thought it was great. It is a chocolate base with chocolate sandwich cookies and a salted caramel swirl, and I thought it was awesome. I love chocolate ice cream with chocolate sandwich cookies in it, and I thought that adding a salty element was great, and I didn't expect any kind of a texture because a caramel swirl, unlike a pretzel, is not crunchy.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
More for me, I guess.
I don't know where to start. I was really disappointed with Ben and Jerry both for this one. I thought the chocolate ice cream was too chocolatey.
I thought that chocolate ice cream was incredible and so creamy and perfectly chocolatey.
I thought the chocolate sandwich cookies were too soggy. Too soggy. I thought the filling in the chocolate sandwich cookies was like marshmallow. And not like an Oreo filling or something, or like a vanilla cream or something like that. It was too marshmallowy, which had me wondering, was this really a chocolate sandwich cookie that got put in here? Or is this a cookie ingredient and an injection of marshmallow? And then you're telling me that this is a chocolate sandwich cookie. I didn't taste any salt at all. There were like two moments when I was eating this bowl that I was like, oh, this is good. Everything else, I was like effortlessly critical of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Everything Dave said, I'm about to say the opposite.
Yeah.
So I thought that I already said about the chocolate ice cream. I thought it was incredible. Anytime I got a bite that was just the chocolate ice cream, I was like, I could eat a whole bowl of just this. Also, I did notice, like you, that the sandwich cookies were kind of on the soft side, but I thought that gave them this fudginess. And I thought that the filling contributed even more to this, like, they almost tasted like chunks of fudge to me.
Do you think that Oreo could make, like, you know how Chips Ahoy was Chips Ahoy for the longest time? And then all of a sudden there were Chewy Chips Ahoy? And it revitalized the Chips Ahoy line and even made, like, the original Chips Ahoy more popular? Because there was this whole idea you could put them in the microwave and like make them fluffy or whatever. Do you think you could, like, Oreo could do that and make a chewy Oreo?
Isn't there a cookie that's like a chewy Oreo? What am I thinking of? I'm feeling like it's a Hostess thing and it's like two soft, fudgy cookies, like a Whoopie Pie.
Yeah. I think that's...
But small, like mini Whoopie Pies is kind of what I feel like you're describing.
I think I can visualize what you're talking about. And I think that is... It's like a spongy thing. It's like spongy.
Like cakey.
Right, cakey. And then has the cream in the middle of it. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm not saying that far. I'm just saying, like, take an Oreo. Take what we all know as an Oreo and its construction and its size and its density and just make it chewy. Maybe a little bit bigger. But the big difference is that it's chewy.
I would be in on this. This sounds lovely.
I don't know. I think the Oreo is the crunch. I think that's 50% of the experience of eating an Oreo. And I think when you put it in ice cream, it gets soggy, but you've still got enough Oreo there. And like I said, the flavor is additive. Like, you're experiencing this larger flavor that's the ice cream and the Oreo. But I wonder if they could market like a chewy version of their core Oreo, their Coreo, if you will. That you could like microwave or do so. I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. That was a diversion. You were saying you like the bad ice cream.
So I was saying that I thought the chocolate base was amazing. And I was saying that I thought that the cookies turned fudgy in a way that made my heart sing. And I thought that the caramel was gooey and salty and perfect because of all that rich chocolateness. It gave you kind of a little break from that. And I love it. And I can't wait to eat more of it.
Good. Well, you'll have plenty.
Also, I can't believe you're accusing them of not putting sandwich cookies in there. Because when you scoop it, you can see that it's a sandwich cookie. You can see the two pieces of chocolate cookie with the little stripe of frosting in the middle.
That can be faked. These guys have millions of dollars.
This is a conspiracy theory.
No, it's not that. It's just that they can create the experience that they want you to have. They want you to think you're having. They have a factory in Vermont.
Vermont, which is known for food-based conspiracies.
It's not a conspiracy. I'm just saying they can give you the experience that you're looking for, but that doesn't mean that that's necessarily what's going into the pint. Like, I have a side blog of food conspiracy theories.
We're announcing its launch today.
We'll put that in the show notes. Look for it. It's on the Instagram.
So we didn't really help you out with that chocolate salted and swirled. It seems like something that you're going to have to experience and decide for yourself.
Because, if you like the things that you talked about, you'll like it.
Yeah.
If you also don't like the things that I didn't like about it, you won't like it. So we did help. Do we need to be united on everything and link arms and be like, this is a good food? Eat it. That's not the point of this.
Yeah, I guess that's not the point of this.
I'm not clear on what the point of this is, but I know that that's not the point of this.
I'm not clear on what the point of this is either, but I love it, whatever it is.
Should we read a letter?
I'm sorry, do we have a letter?
No.
Dave, I got so excited. I thought you had a surprise letter to
share.
Where
would I get a letter from?
I don't know. I would love a letter.
Well, you can write us a letter at talkingtofupod@gmail.com. Also, I'm going off the outline.
I know.
You are so stressed out right now.
I'm stressing. This is not in the order that it is listed.
Well, look, if you've got a new vegan product or just something in your mind and your heart that you'd like us to try and talk about, tell us about it. Or if you've got a question or you just want some feedback from us on something that you're going through.
Maybe you just want to say hey.
Advice, you know, like friend advice, things like that.
That's Dave's department.
Sure. Email us at talkingtofupod@gmail.com.
That's talking without the G.
Which is clear. If you just look down at the device that's playing this podcast right now, you'll see.
But don't do that if you're driving. Be safe.
Okay. Do you want to do the rest?
Do you want me to do the rest?
Well, you got a lot of notes on how I'm doing it.
No, so you're doing a great
I'm going
job.
Off the script, off the outline, which seriously, like, hair fell out when that was happening.
Just one clump on the floor over there.
You're,
I'll vacuum
you're
that
noting
out.
The one thing that I read. So why don't you just take the rest?
Thank you all for listening.
No. Serious?
Oh boy. Dave has kicked
back.
He's got his beer. I'm on my own out here. Well, I do want to thank you all for listening, especially if you made it to the end. We appreciate it so much. And if you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll take a second to rate and review the show because it helps more people find this podcast and that helps us. And we appreciate it so much. Please give us those 5-star reviews. They are a big help.
I just want to say, I'm going to come back. You went off the outline when you did that.
I know, and it was bad.
Yeah, you riffed on it.
It was bad.
You riffed on it.
I know.
I'm just saying you caught my spark.
Mistakes were made, though.
No, it wasn't a mistake. You caught my spark. You started. No, it wasn't. But you went out there. You started riding the wave.
See, this is why I have.
You were like a jazz man riffing.
Do you see why I was so stressed out now?
You were filling the air with these beautiful notes. And sometimes there were some sour notes, but I applaud the effort.
Talkin' Tofu is a production of Glue and Glitter and Caddington Inc. Our music is by Delicate Beats.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.